You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for January 13th, 2017. It's not safe for work.
This is The Professional Left, live with Driftglass and Bluegal asking the musical question, why pay to pee on Russian hookers when the press will let you do it to them for free? It's The Professional Left with Driftglass and Bluegal. Brought to you by McGuffin's Muffin. McGuffin's Muffin's building strong plot points 12 ways. Hi there, Blue Guy.
Hi there. And we heard from a listener this week that the middle name of one of their children is McGuffin.
I know.
And that just rocks. We love that.
They were old-timey radio fans.
Yeah, and everything.
It was like, oh my.
There's a lot of connections between us and them anyway. We won't get into all that, but small world and putting MacGuffin in the middle name of your child is like an amazing thing to do.
Uh-huh.
And I can just see, you know, all kinds of fun things happening with that young man.
Yes.
As he proceeds through life. Go ahead, guess my middle name. And it's not Rumpelstiltskin, right?
Father, I'm haunted by this notion that everyone's trying to find me. Well, I have a story to tell you, and it involves Alfred Hitchcock.
So true.
And we should let you know we're doing this on a Wednesday evening.
Yes.
Because it's quite a week.
Yeah. You want to tell them the bad news first?
Sure.
It has nothing to do with Donald Trump.
Nothing to do with Donald Trump. Well, it was already a pretty busy week. This is a week that Blue Gal is taking Junior Dude up college shopping.
Yeah, we're going to go to an open house this weekend, Friday night. Yep.
Along with the crazy man's fake press conference and a bunch of hearings that are not going particularly well. And then our furnace went out.
Yeah.
The good people from one of our local furnace companies informed us that, you need a new furnace immediately,
mm-hmm.
which is not a surprise. The thing is probably 10 years past its warranty. And
it's 22 along. Years old, it turns out. So, yeah, we're getting off. I think we got our money's worth out of the furnace, and the previous owners of this house got their money's worth out of the furnace. So that's all good. It's not a terrible, terrible shock that we might need a new furnace at some point.
Gonna put it in and it's all gonna be lovely.
We're gonna be fine. We'll be all right. We'll manage.
Don't be surprised if there's a certain urgency to our fundraising that goes above and beyond our normal I don't know how to put that.
Our low-key ask that we usually just kind of, give us when you can. Like, we know exactly what we're going to do with your contribution.
Yeah, we'll be real clear about
for the next 6 months, 7 months, 10 months. And I said, you know what? Recording a podcast while the guys are here installing a furnace is not my thing. So.
Because doing a podcast and then you guys only had the two cats, right? One of them a spare? We got a spare cat, right?
Because he went up the flue.
There's an unexpected development in the furnace area. But it's going to kind of put a big old dent in our Thursday. And then the lovely Blue Gal goes off to...
And we're not good at being apart. So that's always hard when we have to do that. So
she's referring to her and our podcast audience. So
I'm referring to me and my husband.
Yes, she's referring to... we really like being together.
We really do. So we as I said many times on the podcast before, when... I read about Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney and how they slept apart one day, one night in their entire, whatever, decades-long marriage it was. And I remember hearing that before I met you and thinking, that is ridiculous. That just is stupid. And you should be able to go off and have your life and not be that attached to somebody. And then I met Driftglass, and now I totally understand. So.
Well, to be fair, I don't think Paul McCartney ever had to replace a furnace. So
I don't think he had any problem paying for a furnace once the Beatles residuals rolled in either. So
no, that's said Paul McCartney.
On the invoice, I put that "Sir" right there. See, you still got a sign for it, Sir Paul. Enough of our furnace woes. Let's get to the meat of our podcast here.
Yeah, which is bullet points, because this has been a fast-moving week.
Oh, my gosh. And on purpose, clearly, we are being, we said this last week, just the DDoS attack on the media is also just an attack on the media.
Good.
And some of it is deserved,
yeah.
And some of it is not deserved, but clearly, we are dealing with a presidency that uses every opportunity to create drama
and chaos
in order to cover up malfeasance. I think that's pretty clear. And they have a lot of help from the Congress that is in their party. So
disable as many checks and balances as possible along the way. And they have a really compliant political party.
Yep.
Who are perfectly willing. The one thing I have been trying to convince people of is not go numb. Don't go numb. Don't just like
don't withdraw.
Like, oh, check out. But you can't get freaked out every time. Holy shit. Imagine if the Democrats had done this.
Yeah. Yeah.
That happens. That's happening literally every hour on the hour.
Yep.
With Mitch McConnell just being a lying sack of shit who will do whatever he needs to do to get his agenda through, regardless of the fact that it's 180 degrees opposed to what he said were his firm and unalterable principles 2 minutes ago. This should become a surprise to no one. This is the history of the Republican Party, the Tea Party, et cetera, et cetera, compressed into pill form and delivered every minute. Every minute Donald Trump is lying. Every minute he's lying and then accusing other people of lying. Every minute he's citing some trash news source and debunking actual news. Every minute Kellyanne Conway is on television somewhere lying. Every minute the press is desperately trying to cover up for it or compensate for it or both cider it away. And if you're a liberal, you've lived this experience sort of in novel form. And now it's coming in short fiction.
Well, it's coming in tweets.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. And that you're starting with that statement of don't check out. You know, we have a friend at church who's very involved in politics. And he said the same thing to me of just, I am trying to resist the temptation to just withdraw.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I am trying to resist the temptation to stab the Senate Majority Leader in the face. And of course, I mean that not literally. You know, look into my heart. Don't think about the words coming out of my mouth. Look at my heart. The way Kellyanne Conway wants us to treat Trump, right? But in addition to that, if we can kind of have our own bullet points of advice that we give ourselves, to survive this,
sure.
Don't check out, don't overcome the temptation to withdraw. Don't think social media is the world.
No,
I think that's so important.
Or that social media is your friend.
Or that it's your friend. And we should talk, I think we should start when we get to sort of big chunks of what has happened, we really ought to start with Obama's speech and talk about social media and meeting people and that sort of thing. And then the third thing, to my mind, I have caught myself with junior dude who wants to talk about Trump and politics all the time. And this is because it's his wiring and his obsessive interest is politics. And so he just feels good talking about it. So it doesn't matter what your mood is because he doesn't necessarily read that real well, but he wants to talk about it. And there was a point at which I'd had a very long day writing about politics, and I just didn't want to talk about politics anymore. And I snapped at him. And he stopped and was apologetic and is, you know, doesn't want to hurt me. And he said, you know, it's okay, Mom. We're going to have a woman president someday. And I said, no, we're not. We don't have to. Misogyny's lasted for 400,000 years. It doesn't have to. It can go on for another 400,000. And after I said that, I realized I'm talking to an 18-year-old.
Right.
And all of my cynicism and all of my anger and resentment, I don't need to serve that on a plate to him.
No. Because and you're a mother and a patriot.
As a mother and a patriot, who, by the way, a mother and a patriot is in the Congress as of now. So representing the district in Wyoming that her daddy did. Liz Cheney is a Congresswoman Liz Cheney now. But in addition to don't think social media is the world and don't check out and withdraw, find blossoms in your life. Find places where you can say, yes, that's blooming. Yes, that I'm making a difference. Yes, the world is not a dismal place. And whether it's you're looking at, if you have to go look at kitten pictures on the internet for half an hour to just say, okay, you know, the world is not all bad. Or knit or read a novel, or if it's escape from politics, fine. Or if it's join a group that is doing something positive politically, as Obama said last night, that too is going to make a difference in your life. And, it is really important for all of us to protect our mental health, because what we have right now in the world is a big blob of insanity that is pretending to take over.
Well, and this there's an article I would direct our listeners to that's in Esquire, but not by Charlie Pierce.
Oh, my God.
You know, Charlie, if you want my business, you're going to have to link to me a little more often. If you want the professional left to get behind you in your
bless his heart, career. He actually followed me on Twitter. So,
oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, he's an up and comer. And if he wants the professional left bump, which we have given to a few podcasts and a few people.
I'm dying over here, Driftglass.
then he's going to have to get with the program. Yeah. Start citing me and
all right. So he's very generous.
But there is an article in
Esquire. In Esquire.
In Esquire by Jeb Lund.
Okay.
Entitled "Stop Waiting for Trump to Start Making Sense."
Yeah.
Or his lackeys or the deplorables. And yeah. here's the key part. These people are very bad people. it's not just a blob of sort of chaos and dread. They exist to make you cry. And here's the problem. Social media is an open microphone, an open channel. I'll just read you one of the bullet points. Logging into social media to announce that you feel terrified and heartsick just vindicates these people. Stop sharing on social media. If you want to share on social media, share ideas, share indignation, share we're not going to put up with this shit. Share the stupidity of those people. But apart, as the gentleman says, apart from being almost wholly ineffectual on its own terms, all it does is vindicate the conservative message.
Mm-hmm.
Every malignant troll who changed his Twitter username to deplorable fuckface to piss off the liberals feeds off impotent moral outrage and public despair.
Yeah.
That's why they exist.
Mm-hmm.
Logging into social media just vindicates them. Any attempt at broader entreaty to the people inspiring this feeling is founded on a mistake. You cannot shame the shameless.
Mm-hmm.
You can't appeal to an inborn trait to someone who doesn't that someone doesn't have.
Yeah.
There is no way to get to these people through the shame mechanism or the conscience mechanism.
Yep.
Or the don't you realize you are contradicting everything you have said for years that you believe in?
Mm-hmm.
There's no conscience there.
Mm-hmm.
So every time that you go to social media and open your heart up, they're going to come and eat it.
Yep.
And you need to acknowledge that that's who they are.
And what's come to me this week in seeing the people backtrack who claimed on social media that their ACA healthcare wasn't being canceled.
Right.
It was just Obamacare that was being canceled and getting mowed down.
Right.
And watching this one in particular react with, number one, I'm blocking everybody who corrected me.
Right.
Number two, I'm going to keep blocking everyone who corrects me. But number three is, I'm going to pretend I didn't say that.
Right.
And I said something else.
Yeah.
But his tweet is still there, and he retweets himself saying, "Now see, I didn't say that." And I realized this person is not only just kind of deranged, but they're very weak in really in terms of needing so badly to be on top, to be right all the time, and to hurt other people that it really doesn't occur to them that they're wrong,
no.
Or that they need correction, or that if they were turn around and say, "Oh, my bad, you're right. I need to call my congressman and make sure that my healthcare is protected," or anything, you know,
they can't do it.
Or just delete the tweet. It just say, "Okay, you know," and pretend it didn't happen. They don't even do that. It's I'm right, and you're all a bunch of, you know, cucks, right?
Yeah.
And it's this weakness of I can't be wrong, and so of course they gravitate towards a bully like Trump.
Yeah.
Of course, they have gravitated to a bully like Rush Limbaugh for 25 years. That is the point.
They're fascists, honey. They're authoritarians. They're authoritarians. They like taking orders from strong, authoritarian dictator types.
Because they won't be hurt if that happens. And that is the problem, because they are going to be hurt by the people they voted for.
And the minute that happens, they'll blame it on us.
They'll blame it on the liberals, yep.
They will not hesitate for a second to break the Tea Party hats back out and the little Gadsden flags back out. The Koch brothers will roll in with another $100 million, and Fox News will go right back to Tea Party Central. And these people, you can't...
We never voted for Trump.
They will erase their own past.
Yeah,
you can watch them do it online. The same guy with his it's not Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, erases their own past.
Yep.
It is not... This is something I truly believe at this point that's almost congenital. Mm-hmm. It's ineradicable. This is part of their personality, is never admitting mistakes. Mm-hmm. And always, if you made a mistake, it must be because you weren't conservative enough.
Yeah.
Period.
Or it's the liberals' fault. Yes. Yes.
And the conservative movement, such as it is, in its wake has left lots of, you know, true blue, hardcore Reagan conservatives completely out of it, because they mentioned at one point something that wasn't that day's party line.
Mm-hmm.
And they were cut from the pack.
Mm-hmm.
And they will do it in a heartbeat. And it works. Here's the thing. It actually works, because the people who get cut from the pack become both siderous scumbags.
Yeah.
They become Matthew Dowd. You cannot function in the world of one side is often right about many things and one side is horribly wrong about many things. He can't, his brain won't allow him to do that, because he was taught at an early age, liberals evil, liberals bad. So he's stuck in a world where, well, the party I backed my whole life sucks and it's full of fascists, just like liberals said they were. But I can't side with the left, so I have to invent this stupid third position.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
all that does is empower the people he hates.
Yeah.
Because if you push, you know, Mr. ACA dumbass far enough, I swear to God, what he'll say is, well, you know, liberals are just as bad.
Uh-huh.
You know, the left is just as bad. And that's also been wired into his head by people like Matthew Dowd and Ron Fournier. So it works for them to do this. And this is something that we can beat if we could just sort of all start rowing in the same direction for 5 fucking minutes at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is cutting off people who want to bite your ankles and get you distracted. The people who are still obsessed with the primaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Pumas of this election, if you will, who are lovely people, I'm sure. The people who can't let it go. The people who stayed up late at night to document all the ways in which Barack Obama, the liberals, were going to pretend that Barack Obama's record was better than it was. And I'm referring to you, Glenn Greenwald. people like that, there's no reasoning with them. And they have a shit ton of money and they have a big audience. You have to cut them out of your life. You have to cut them away from you and not talk to them, because they're not interested in winning you over. They're not interested in your opinion. They're never going to change their mind.
You're listening to the Professional Left Podcast, professionalleft.blogspot.com. But let's talk about the news of the week and some of the very interesting things that have happened.
Well, Chuck Todd.
We're starting with Chuck Todd, because that was last Sunday. Okay?
That was the Sunday show. And I didn't watch Meet the Press. I listened to it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little story there. I listened to it on KTRC AM in Santa Fe, a little streaming service. It's one of the few progressive stations in the country. And this is a Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon broadcast on a progressive radio station.
Where they re-air Meet the Press.
They buy Meet the Press with Chuck Todd and Rick Santelli and David Brooks and rebroadcast it. Because really, who on the liberal side doesn't want to listen to Chuck Todd?
And David Brooks.
A fucking rerun of Chuck Todd, because that's the most exciting thing you can possibly imagine. And then, and this is the part.
Well, it served your purpose for this week, right?
Well, then it leapt into the area of perfect metaphor, because according to their program schedule, what should have been on in the next hour was Both Sides Now, which was a horribly ill-conceived show by Arianna Huffington and Mary Madeline that lets both sides have their say. Neither one of those people are involved with this in any way. I don't think so. But the guy who destroyed Air America now hosts it.
Oh,
so how
okay.
fucking perfect is that? But instead of that show, it was an hour of dead air.
Literal dead air.
Literal dead. I let my little ancient iPhone run and run and run and run and run. And at the 1 o'clock mark, whatever gardening show or whatever it was popped on. It was an hour of dead fucking air. an irreplaceable hour of progressive radio that just died because there was nobody to fill it. So we filled it with reruns of Chuck Todd, the shittiest Both Sides show. Oh, we don't have the shitty Both Sides show anymore, so let's just have nothing.
Wow.
And that was really kind of a perfect metaphor for the state of liberal media writ large. Now, on Meet the Press, you can see that Chuck Todd is warming up to the job of being Both Siderist man.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only way people like him are going to survive during the failed Trump administration is by hewing to the fanatic belief that both sides are wrong about everything. Now, the first thing he did was invite the odious Rick Santelli on his show. And even Andrea Mitchell and Chuck Todd were like, no, dude, just quit fucking lying. They can't say that, but Santelli went off in this long ramble about this and that and how health insurance is like car insurance and it's everything will be okay. And he's just a fucking viper. I mean, he's the only reason he's on the air is because he was one of the original shouty cracker nut jobs that started the Tea Party.
Right.
And now he has a job for life at NBC for some reason. And even the, you know, houseplants that are there can't stand him, obviously. But Chuck Todd apparently has to put him on because gotta make those wingnuts happy. But here's what Chuck Todd said about the Affordable Care Act, its repeal, and the fact that Republicans are now in sort of a corner because they have to repeal it with something and they don't see a clue as to what to do.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to say is Democrats made a mistake when they didn't bring Republicans into the health care process.
Lie.
And they owned it on their own. And
lie.
The problem.
Lie.
Republicans are going to make a mistake if they own this on their own. I mean, if this is a partisan effort on the other side, then they're going to continue to litigate.
Lie.
Rick Santelli says something stupid. And Chuck Todd says, well, I think we all want to see compromise once somewhere.
Lie.
That's a lie. That is a lie. Chuck Todd, the NBC News guy, lied. Used his show, used the premier network, not a cable news show with, you know, 40,000 people or 50,000 people or 100,000 people, but used the premier NBC Meet the Press show to lie knowingly to his audience because he doesn't want to tell the truth, which is Democrats offered every single thing Republicans wanted, gave them 161 different amendments.
There were 161, we went and looked this up, 161 Republican amendments to the Affordable Care Act.
It was based
on many of which weakened the coverage for people.
Weakened the very things that are now Republicans are bitching about it not doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They started off by ceding half the field of the Republican Party, by giving up on the public option almost without a fight, giving up on Medicare for all without any fight whatsoever, and saying, look, here's how cool we are. Here's how much we want your help. We're going to use the Republican plan.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to use Romney Care as our basis. We're going to use markets and private insurance companies, and we're going to jury-rig this thing together to make you happy. And they didn't get a single fucking Republican vote.
In the final bill.
And part of the reason important parts were stripped out is because people like Joe Lieberman, Blue Dog Joe, stabbed his party in the back.
Yep.
So,
and we talked about that last week.
Exactly.
I don't want to rewrite history here either, Driftglass, in that I believe that one of the motivations for not going Medicare for all public option had to do with jobs in the insurance industry. And how many people are employed by the insurance industry at the point at which this bill passed. And you've got to remember, we were in a deep recession.
We were.
And people were terrified. And there's an article at Politico from I don't remember when it came out. I think it was 2011, 2012, talking about Obamacare is the great jobs bill. And how many jobs, and this was the subject of my letter to the editor recently, which is don't let go of all the jobs when you repeal Obamacare. There's all these jobs that have been created, good white collar jobs in healthcare, you know, manning the phones, doing the reception stuff where people becoming a phlebotomist and drawing blood. You know, those are jobs that don't require a tremendous amount of training that women like to have to support their families.
Yep.
And they're in clean, safe environments, you know, and so don't just dump those jobs. And I think that's one thing that is making Republicans hesitate. This article in Politico said that there were several points at which they could have made one decision or another about how to fund this, how to pass it, how to include certain things. And nearly every time the Obama administration sided on the on the side of which is going to either keep more jobs or create more jobs. Mm-hmm. Even though, as this article, which is a fairly conservative article, said, healthcare is a drag on the economy overall.
Yes, it is.
You know, it doesn't produce product. It just makes people healthy.
Right.
And that's a service industry, and that's fine. But in terms of taking a healthcare job versus a manufacturing job and adding it to the economy, it doesn't have the same kind of, what do you call that again?
Multiplier
effect.
It doesn't.
It just doesn't. So, you know, but they erred on the side of which is going to keep jobs now. So I don't want to rewrite history and say, well, you know, we should have had single payer in 2009. We should have canceled out all private insurance in 2009. We should have had public option and then done that half step to wipe out the insurance industry. There really was a panic about not letting any jobs get lost to the economy. And we can't just look back on this from 2017 and say they should have done, you know, because of course, you know, we all want single payer. We all get that. But that wasn't what the top priority was in 2009. So I don't want to rewrite that history.
That your point is well taken. And I would just put it like this, that the Democratic Party and my president took many giant steps in the direction of the Republican Party.
They did. And now Chuck Todd lies about it. And that is the truth.
And at the time, John Boehner, after gutting and cutting and doing everything he could to obstruct it, was standing there saying, we offered to work with the president. We've been shut out. It's shut out, shut out. Republicans want to help the president, but he won't let us. Yeah. This is the entire narrative on which Matthew Dowd and Ron Fournier and Chuck Todd and David Brooks have built their career, their Obama career.
Well,
which is,
and let's face it, that's exactly what's going on now with the Secretary of State hearing with Tillerson, which is, you know, yeah, we have horrible problems with Russia. You know, don't mention P-gate right this minute, right? Don't mention golden showers, but we're going to prove everything with Russia because Obama was such a weak leader.
Well, and he should have been the Green Lantern. He should have magically made Republicans go along. This really is a case where John Kyle and Jim DeMint, when he was in the Senate, and Chuck Grassley all went on the record saying, we have no fucking intention of voting for any of this. There's no way Republicans are going to get on this. Our priority is to make him a one-term president.
Right.
We know for a fact that that was their strategy from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that in 2017, Chuck Todd is going to sit there on his own show, and not as a partisan, but as the moderator.
Right.
As the person in the middle, and just fucking lie about it. Because that's the lie that Republicans want to hear. And Chuck Todd knows that the woods are now full of beasts with sharp teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And he could very well end up having his own podcast called the David Gregory Podcast. And that he better play nice, because he said before, he's not in the news business anymore. He's in the entertainment business.
And
it's not entertaining to tell Republicans that they're the problem. They're at fault. So he's not going to do that. But that started the week off. That was a little aperitif to start the week off. Oh, my goodness. Here's this metaphor of how screwed up liberal media is, followed by Chuck Todd lying. Followed by
Barack Obama Tuesday night.
Well, Mitch McConnell.
Right? Oh, okay.
Going on about this is the vetting is just a bunch of liberal sour grapes. Here's a letter you wrote 6 years ago, 7 years ago, saying exactly the opposite of what you're saying now. Yeah, but I don't need to be consistent because I have power and you don't. So fuck. Anyway,
Chuck Schumer just Sharpie penned the letter.
Yeah.
That Mitch McConnell wrote that at the beginning of the Obama administration. Yeah. He just crossed off of McConnell's name, put his own, re-signed it, and sent it back to him.
Well, and,
the exact same letter.
And the part, and here's the part that didn't get mentioned. All of Barack Obama's nominees were thoroughly vetted and finished their paperwork and did all the stuff you're supposed to do.
Yep.
That is one question. You know, any reporter could ask that question. But nobody chooses to because they're pussies, frankly.
Well, and you wrote about this at the time because you and I were not married and you were working in government. You actually, when Obama became president, you lost your job. There was a possibility that you could have done policy work, even part time for the Obama administration.
Yeah. No, I was
written policy papers or whatever. And you looked at the application to go work at the White House, and it was, have you ever written anything on the internet in any way, shape, or form email, blog post, text that might embarrass the administration. Comment.
That might embarrass the administration.
That might embarrass the administration.
If so, where is it? I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Got it. It was empty.
And
your
really, they empty your pockets, take off your pants, show us your tattoos.
Right.
You know, do you shave your armpits? We need to know if you pluck your eyebrows. We need to know every hair on your body because we're going to make sure that this, they're going to come for us and we're going to make sure that we have nothing for them, for the right wing to come after.
Clean, what is pure
clean as a whistle. And that's why Shirley Sherrod got fired day one. You know, they just had zero tolerance for anything that was going to make them look bad. And in the end, it bit them with Shirley Sherrod because she hadn't done anything wrong.
Right.
So, but they super vetted their own people before the Congress vetted them.
Right.
There were no surprises.
And that's why.
And now.
They could skate through. That's why.
Right.
And now you have this rogues gallery of unvetted, unqualified, often unhinged
criminals in some respects.
Who and the minority leader of the United States Senate is saying, fuck it, let him through.
Yeah.
Let him through. Who cares?
Rush him through.
Yeah, put him through.
We'll do everybody in 4 days, you know, and just rush it through, which turned out to backfire on him. He wasn't able to do that. But, you know, Monica Crowley, not only plagiarizing her book from 2012.
I know.
Plagiarizing articles, plagiarizing her PhD thesis, just serial plagiarizing of everything.
Yeah, she's a crook.
And you sit there and no one is withdrawing her name.
No.
It's you know.
Well, this
shock doesn't like it when I use the word astonishing, but to me, it's astonishing.
Well, and this is a week, like many weeks we're going to have over the next few years together.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the professional life isn't going anywhere.
Right.
So. We don't work for MSNBC or NBC or anybody. We work for you guys, frankly.
Yep.
And we love doing this. We still love doing this. We love doing this when Barack Obama was riding high, when he was making mistakes. We love doing this. We love talking about these things. We love sharing them with you.
Well, but, and I, that was one thing that Barack Obama, let's switch and talk about Barack Obama's speech next,
sure.
If you don't mind. One thing he left out about all the social action and organizing is he left out be the media. And I think he didn't have time really to make the fine point between screaming at each other on Twitter and on social media and actually trying to be the kind of pundits that we would like to see on TV. And I think that's what we're trying to do.
Yes.
Is be some punditry that actually cares about fact and is willing to correct ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I've been wrong a few times in the past 2 months. One in particular that comes to mind is I kept saying that "you lie" came up at a State of the Union address. That wasn't true. It was a address to Congress
joint session,
which are rare, but there was one in the fall of 2009. And I'm sorry, I got that wrong, so I'll correct that. But yeah, we try to correct ourselves when we can, and also try to be truthful, you know. Well,
I think we also try to demonstrate that you don't need to be plugged in behind the scenes to mm-hmm. figure out what's going on with your government.
Right.
I mean, it really helps. And there's a ton of stuff that the media knows they don't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
They're way too chummy with each other. They're way too closed a system. There are secret handshakes all around. But if you read and do your research and keep an eye on things and watch how trends develop and watch how people rise and fall and remember what people say, you can be a pretty good consulting detective on your own. You can
mm-hmm.
pretty much figure out, you can deduce right up to the smoking gun.
Yep.
Then it really does fall to actual investigative journalists to get in there and find, yes, this is where they decided to lie about this. But especially in the failed Trump administration,
mm-hmm.
considering that about 4/5 of what he says is just flat out bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all on tape, or it's all on video, or it's all in tweets. It's not that hard to keep track of it all. It is part of the job of the real citizen journalists, which is what we're trying to be, to hold the Beltway journalists accountable.
Yeah.
In any way we can. And this, I do want to talk about the farewell speech, but this was a week when Monica Crowley turning out to be a serial plagiarizer and liar. mm-hmm. and Bill O'Reilly turning out to be a serial lady molester.
phone sex molester. Yeah. Uninvited phone sex by yeah. Bill O'Reilly.
The woman apparently got one of those big novelty Roger Ailes checks.
Right. Well, and Fox News is, you know, their ratings are the best, you know, that justifies everything they do is that it's the best ratings. And, you know, it turns out they need those profits in order to pay off all the women that Bill O'Reilly masturbates to uninvited on the telephone.
And when, you know, but those were the least explosive stories this week.
Exactly. Exactly.
Anyway,
they were the most fun.
They were.
But and don't forget the golden showers.
No.
I don't want to put golden showers and Barack Obama's speech together, but they happened on the same night. And I did think it was fitting that here is a speech where Barack Obama, by all evidence, a devoted husband who has total respect for his wife and total adoration for his daughters and protection for his daughters and has raised them right. And they are a model family. And that contrasted with the unsubstantiated claim, and I want to make clear about this,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I was very careful in my post today about making sure that people understood mm-hmm. at Crooks and Liars and at the Professional Life Podcast, we want to tell the truth. We're not interested in spreading crazy rumors. This came out that the facts are that Donald Trump stayed in a swanky hotel
mm-hmm.
in Moscow mm-hmm. in 2013.
Yep.
The ambassador to Russia at the time was aware of his visit, aware of the hotel he was staying at, and aware of the hotel room he had stayed at. Mm-hmm. It was the hotel room where Mr. and Mrs. Obama had stayed previously.
Mm-hmm.
This former ambassador was on television last night and said, I can't tell you whether any Russian agency or agency of the government or individual or hotel owner or anything bugged Donald Trump's room. I don't know that.
Uh-huh.
What I do know is that I, as ambassador to Russia, and the president and the president's staff, while he was in Russia, took precautions to make sure that any conversation, text, email, etc., that went out of that hotel
uh-huh.
was protected so that it could not be intercepted by.
Yep.
And we took those precautions. That I will tell you. And, you know, that's the fact. So, and he said, I also know that the Russian government, when a billionaire from the United States stays in a hotel in Moscow,
mm-hmm.
they would be interested in the activities of that person.
Yes, they would.
A celebrity billionaire would be someone they would be interested in. Then that's all he would say. Now, those are just facts. Those are just documented. You know, this is what we do. So the story is that these two pages were amended to a briefing that the president, Barack Obama, got, and a briefing that the president-elect, Donald Trump, got. That's also verified.
That's right.
That these two pages were part of the briefing. And that's what CNN reported last night.
Right.
These two pages. These two pages included a story that I don't know how to put, there was on these two pages, allegation that Mr. Trump had prostitutes come into the hotel room and urinate on the bed as a way of making a statement about the Obamas sleeping on that bed. Okay.
Yes.
That is on the page that was amended to the
briefing,
right? Okay. I also know that Gawker is reporting today that the British agent who provided that information, without a lot of documentation, handed it over to the FBI mm-hmm. last fall.
Right.
No, excuse me, last summer, and didn't hear anything about it because the FBI was obsessed with Hillary's emails.
They're busy with the server and whatnot.
And as a result of not hearing back, he went to David Corn at Mother Jones.
Yes. Who wrote about it
in December.
Right.
And is there a possibility that Donald Trump was spied upon, came out in December, last month, in December. So that story's been out for over a month. And we know because Willie Geist this morning on Morning Joe told all of us flat out, and no one denied it and no one contradicted him, that Richard Engel and Tom Brokaw have known about this particular story for 4 months. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to quote, I did a transcript of Willie Geist. I'd like to read this because this is something.
I'd like to correct one thing, though.
Yeah.
David Korn wrote that article in October.
Okay.
And as Charlie Pierce said, but nobody noticed it because James Comey had written a letter to Congress.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Willie Geist said this morning, Wednesday morning, there's a reason that Tom Brokaw and Richard Engel have known about this for 4 months and you haven't heard it on NBC News. There's a reason, as the New York Times says in its piece, they've known it and haven't reported on it. It's an unsubstantiated claim.
Right.
News organizations have been working hard to do it, to substantiate it. But if the new standard from one news organization last night, meaning CNN, is we're going to put it out there and let the people decide, that's a crazy precedent.
Now pause for a moment and just soak that in. Just inhale and breathe the pure barn.
We're just going to put it out there and let the people decide. That's a crazy precedent.
Breathe in the barnyard bullshit aroma coming off of that. You know, the idea that we're going to just dump some crap out there and let people figure out whether it's true or not. Not our job. Hey, not our. Okay.
Who killed Vince Foster?
Who, I don't know. Probably Hillary Clinton. On her way to a lesbian tryst with Sidney Blumenthal for some
reason. In a pizza joint. With, spirit cooking going on.
To be fair, he was looking for the birth certificate.
Yeah, the birth certificate.
Death panels where baby parts are being sold illegally. Every one of the things that your crazy Uncle Liberty believes, every one of them, all the reasons that he is ganglia was twitching to vote for this Nigerian prince of a con man, of a liar, of a fascist, of a racist asshole for president. Was based on fake news stories that the right has put out and the mainstream media has occasionally poked with a stick, but never, ever taken on with the kind of fervor they're taking on this. The as of the fifth Benghazi hearing, it was absurd to keep insisting that the things that your crazy Uncle Liberty believes were still true.
Right.
So that could have been reported as the scumbag Republican Party is running another witch hunt to drive down votes. But it wasn't, because that wasn't a fun story to tell. It was humiliating Hillary Clinton.
Right. And let's be clear about Benghazi too.
Right.
That those were almost the exact words that Trey Gowdy said when his report was slipped under the door in the middle of the night, and so that no one was supposed to notice.
Right.
What a failure he was. We're going to release this and let people decide who's guilty and who isn't.
You figured out. It's not our job
to come to conclusions. It's our job to report the facts as we have found them. And the $7 million that your committee spent, not to mention the other $10 million that other committees spent, to find nothing. And, you know, but it worked. It drove her poll numbers down. Sure. It added to the pile on. It put doubt. You know, planted doubt in people's mind that, you know, there has to be something because they've done all these investigations. Whitewater, blah, blah, blah. Vince Foster, blah, blah, blah. Travelgate, blah, blah, blah. Emails, blah, blah, blah.
Emails and for a fucking year.
11 days before the election, there's just one. All James Comey has to do is take one little Lego block and put it on the top of that pile.
And what does
it all comes tumbling down.
Well, let's remember what he did. He went out of his way to stick his fat ass in the middle of an election to comment on an ongoing investigation, which he then said, I can't comment on.
Right.
But it's still ongoing. Now, what did he say yesterday about the ongoing FBI investigation?
I can't possibly talk about that in public.
Can't talk about that in public. Clearly, if one were to believe crackpot rumors, the FSB has something on Comey as well.
Right.
I don't know what his particular kink is. I don't know what it is he likes doing in the deep dark of the night that he doesn't want America to know about. But James Comey is perfectly willing to drop a turd in the middle of an election by commenting on an ongoing investigation and then turn right around and say that FBI policy is to never do that.
Right.
And he gets away with it because it serves the interests of the fascist party that now runs our federal government.
Right.
As does Willie Geist. That's his job. His job is to suddenly get outraged about shit that he and this panel of morons of Morning Joe have been doing for a decade.
Right, right. So I came up with six or seven examples of, and not just Fox News, you know, but Rush Limbaugh and this Benghazi thing of, no, we're just going to release it and let people decide on their own. You know, and it goes on and on. And then CNN itself, and this is where, you know, I want to defend the right of that reporter at the press conference today, who was told, was pointed out by the president-elect and said, no, you're fake news. I'm not going to answer your question.
You're trash. You're fake news.
You're trash. You're fake news. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Every reporter at that press conference should have sat down at that point, put their hands in their lap,
right,
and let that reporter stand up and ask his question until it gets answered.
Right.
They step on each other to make a name for themselves as individuals, and Trump takes advantage of their careerism.
Yes.
Constant careerism.
Yes.
To make it, I get to ask a question now. It's my organization's turn. So I'm going to totally kick the ass of another reporter. No, you should all sit down, put your hands in your lap, and make him answer that question. When he berates and belittles a reporter, you're next. Don't
right.
think you're not next. So you have to stand together. And then if he walks away and doesn't answer the question and there's no other questions,
that's the story.
Because you turn to the camera and say, and question his courage. Question, he would not answer so-and-so's question, so the press conference is over. Mm-hmm. We feel that it's important that the reporter be respected and be allowed to ask a question. The end.
Meanwhile.
And then Twitter can call him a coward, right? I mean, that's the point.
And he brought his own cheering section.
He did. Which, and that is ridiculous.
I've never heard of anyone doing it. Well, of course,
yeah.
as a petty, thin-skinned, racist
yep.
tyrant, he
yep.
needs a court of sycophants to clap constantly. Now, it used to be
yeah.
that for, like, George Bush, it was sufficient to just have the press as lapdogs.
Right.
But Donald Trump wants actual people applauding him wherever he gets his theme song. He wants actual people applauding him wherever he goes and cheering him on. So he brings a little Trump Nuremberg rally with him wherever he goes, to remind him that he's the most awesome man in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a train wreck of a press conference. It was just,
yeah. Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah.
It showed the press to be utterly unable to get its shit together. They don't know how to handle an actual fascist when they're staring them in the face.
Mm-hmm.
They're way too focused on their career or their next
yep.
question. They don't see themselves as a team.
Yep.
And he just rolls over them.
Yes, he does.
They're disorganized and foolish. He wouldn't answer a direct question, and he just rambled on in a self-aggrandizing way that was just embarrassing. Tom Brokaw earlier today was talking about how Donald Trump might just be awesome if he can just jumpstart the economy, if he can just manage to do that. And you just want to take Tom aside and say, Tom, here's a graph of what the economy has been doing since 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at this precipitous drop, this collapse, this global economic collapse, and how far we've climbed out of it ever since then, and where things are headed now. I don't think Tom Brokaw is compass mentis anymore to understand these things.
Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunate. I know he's ill. I know he's ill, and that's, to be I am sorry for him in that regard. But he's also never hurt financially at all. His private home out in Montana, and that has the satellite dish paid for by NBC News, right. And
his private home known as the state of Montana.
Yeah, right. I mean, he is set for, as he said, my grandchildren never have to work a day in their lives. So, he's got it all taken care of.
I want to underscore that since we were talking about Obama's farewell speech.
Yeah, and we're gonna devote the rest of the show to that if
yeah.
you don't mind.
No, absolutely. It was very good. It was uplifting, but it seemed to me to be beamed in from an alternate reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
much nicer than ours. I'd love to visit there sometime.
Yeah.
I understand why he did it. I understand that he's this was his pitch for the ages.
Yeah.
This was his if as a writer he was basically creating a frame of the narrative of his presidency, starting with 2004 speech at the convention and ending with this. It was heartfelt. There was nothing phony about it. It was heartfelt and it was sincere and it was beautiful and it was uplifting. And it was about you have to lace up your goddamn shoes and get out there and organize.
Mm-hmm.
This is on you. This was never about me. This was about you getting shit done.
Mm-hmm.
Through organizing, and I will help you, but this is your democracy.
Mm-hmm.
You have
mm-hmm.
to do it, as opposed to the Donald Trump speech at his convention, where I and I alone can solve all of your problems. And we're going to replace that that Obamacare, which he just trashed today, just long, rambling Trump-esque questions, with something awesome. But it really did, as heartfelt and touching and beautiful as it was, and it was all of that, it really didn't ever come to grips with the fact that there are 60 million people in this country who are unhinged and dangerous.
And not only unhinged and dangerous, but also going to attempt to destroy whatever lace-up shoes we put on to organize.
Right.
And the perfect example of that, and I hate to get depressed again, but the perfect example of that is Black Lives Matter.
It is. Yep.
They did everything right.
Yep.
They faced a problem that is an injustice. They laced up their shoes. They marched. They organized. And, you know, I said to you, isn't it sad that a movement, whether it's Occupy or Black Lives Matter, that the first thing you've got to do is hire a bunch of lawyers. You've got to raise $1 billion and hire a bunch of lawyers to protect your trademark, because otherwise Fox News and right-wing social media is going to take the name of your movement and attach it to terrorism.
Every random
or whatever crime, whatever random crime happens is going to be your fault.
Right.
And so, you know, this thing with the BLM hashtag and the terrible crime that happened and attaching it to this movement that is by women in St. Louis.
Right.
You know, started by three women in St. Louis who wanted the police to stop shooting unarmed Black people.
Right.
That is the purpose of the movement.
That's it.
And, they learned a lot. They learned a lot from Hillary Clinton about, you know, come up with something that I can put together a package and push through Congress and I'll do it.
Right.
And, the mothers of the movement got behind that and they laced up their shoes and went and campaigned and, you know, stood for what was right. And, you're going to be hit so hard. And I think this is something that Barack Obama in the bubble of the White House, I think he understands, but I don't think he empathizes.
Right.
And, the fact that, you know, you're nobody. You're just a person who puts on shoes and goes out and collects signatures. Isn't always safe. It isn't always, it can endanger your employment.
Sure can.
It can endanger your income. It can endanger your family relationships. And, you know, to say, lace up your shoes and go collect signatures and do things. If you don't have a lawyer and a trademark.
Yeah.
And, frankly, a bunch of armed people protecting you. I hate to say that, but you know, if you don't have the attorney general on your side,
right.
I mean, that was the good thing Barack Obama did, right?
Uh-huh.
Was, you know, the Justice Department, apart from the FBI director, the Justice Department, for the most part, was really trying to get voting rights passed and doing everything they could to undo, voter suppression around the country. And that's gone. And so if you're running around collecting signatures and your state doesn't like you doing that, or your boss doesn't like you doing that, where is your protection? So I'm really glad that Barack Obama wants to inspire us to do things, but, he's got to come and stand where we're standing.
He does.
And I'm not saying that recognizing that he wouldn't sympathize and empathize with the fact that, you know, we put on this show with donated microphones and don't know how we're going to pay for our furnace.
Right.
That's where we are.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're doing everything we can, Barack Obama. Believe me, you know,
we're operating at maximum capacity.
Maximum capacity. Yeah. But it's not as easy as just lace up your shoes and grab a clipboard.
No.
You know, that's great, but that's not everything.
Well,
and so
that's not a plan of action. I fully expect him and the core of the Obama team.
Mm-hmm.
To translate, to go right into organizing.
Yeah.
After taking a nice long vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Just
sort
of fleshing the top.
And give us lots of opportunities. And there will be lots of opportunities to call your congressman to, you know, we now know that that's what works is phone calls. And so you do need to stay in touch with social media in that respect go follow the ACLU on Twitter. And get notified when they tweet something.
Mm-hmm.
follow the healthcare organizations that are, you know, those nurses organizations that are fighting for Obamacare. Look up the hashtag Obamacare and go find out who's for it. I know you're going to have to trudge through a lot of negative stuff to do that. But, you know, Google pro-Obamacare organizations. Planned Parenthood. When Planned Parenthood tweets an action, PP Action, I think, is their Twitter handle. You know, they have a... What's wrong?
Never more timely. PP
Never
Action.
Yeah. PP Action, okay. Oh, well, you know, someone from Crooks and Liars sent out an email of a picture of Donald Trump, and it said, beans, what's the difference between a chickpea and a garbanzo bean?
I don't know.
I've never had a garbanzo bean on my face.
Hey, now. Hey.
Say it out loud.
Let me do a few quick hits from the last 24 hours.
All right, and then we're going to go.
And we're rolling. First of all, it's never a good day when you wake up to see Godwin's Law trending on Twitter.
Oh, no.
Because apparently Donald Trump thinks we live in Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
Because and I don't know if he's familiar with the Nazis or his supporters, but it's, you know, I don't know how to make fun of that.
Nope.
This is not a joke, by the way. The second thing is not a joke. The law firm overseeing Donald Trump's compliance with his businesses is named Morgan Lewis. Morgan Lewis has the distinction, I am not kidding, of being named in 2016 Russia Law Firm of the Year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. Also,
that's breaking news.
It is.
Wow.
You can get one guest to say who said today, I have no conflict situation because I am president. That would be the incoming Il Duce. And finally, proving that nothing but grim death will ever stop Holy Joe Lieberman.
Oh, gosh.
From floating to the surface like a turd, just long enough to stab his party in the back, former party in the back. He waltzed onto the scene to tell everyone who would listen that Jeff Sessions will be a principled, fair, and capable attorney general.
Oh, my God.
Because that's what Joe Lieberman's made of poop from head to toe. He, again, has no conscience, no soul, no particular moral principles, but he is held in high esteem by many people who smell just like he does.
Yeah.
And so he used his, you know, his standing as America's most hated former senator or most, I don't know what, irrelevant former senator to roll back into the scene one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And just for local news, today, Mike Madigan, who admittedly is 107 years old, and is way past his sell-by date, but who is the Democratic Speaker of the Illinois House, was elected to his 17th consecutive term as Speaker of the Illinois House, which makes some kind of record. And you know what? It troubles me deeply that Mike Madigan has that kind of power. And the Democratic Party of Illinois is that sort of sclerotic and broken. But you know what? Mike Madigan and the Democratic Party are the only people standing in the way of Governor Hedge Fund absolutely bulldozing this state and turning it into Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
So you know what? Mike, happy 17th term. I'll lace up my shoes and organize, but I have a feeling you don't need me to do that for you.
No, and there was one Democrat that voted against him.
Yeah.
And they asked that one Democrat who voted against him, are you fearful of retribution? He said, oh, yeah.
I live here. What are you talking about? I also don't want the podcast to end without saying that John Lewis absolutely rocked today.
Yep,
Cory Booker absolutely rocked today. In here.
Absolutely rocked today. And from the grave, may I say, Coretta Scott King rocked yesterday. And her letter about Jeff Sessions and how she did not think he should be a federal judge. A letter that, by the way, I found out was buried by Strom Thurmond.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that kind of tells you what's going on.
You know, legacy, baby. Legacy.
Yep. Strom Thurmond decided that that letter didn't need to be read into the record.
Because it might bias them in favor of against Jeff Sessions.
Yeah. So that was not didn't exist as far as the congressional record was concerned, even though it was to a member of Congress. Some reporter, Wesley Lowery from The Washington Post, found it. Published it, and it was news, and it got entered into the record yesterday. So
it turns out the sons and daughters and parents and grandparents of America's most oppressed people are the people who save us every time.
Yep. Yep.
The people
good
who
way
should,
to end.
The people who should hate this country are the ones who love it best.
Thank you, Driftglass.
You're welcome, Blue Gal. I love you.
I love you, too. Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Sophie. Sophie is just lovely. You can send your internet kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions! Letter on the air, unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based furnace for yourself, a hot beverage for yourself, contribute to our furnace.
Because we're very cold. We're so
yeah.
cold.
No, the cost of a latte is fine. We're grateful for every dollar
Absolutely
that comes
are.
In.
Yep.
And don't forget our Amazon link at our website. We believe in buying local, but we also believe in shopping Amazon But we also believe in shopping Amazon with our link if your alternative is a big box store. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, for details. Both our PayPal and postal address information is there at professionalleft.blogspot.com. We have in the past said, please rate our show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. That doesn't really grow our listenership.
No.
At all anymore, because most of the reviews over there are awesome.
Yeah.
So we think we're doing good in that regard. So we're going to ask you, please share our show on Facebook or Twitter. We know some of you are on the down low as liberals on Facebook, and so you might not do that. But if you are not, or if it is possible for you to do so, sharing our show on Facebook or Twitter would be very much appreciated. And don't forget, we have our own Twitter stream at Pro Left Podcast, all one word, where you can go over there and find a link to our show that you can retweet if you want to do it that way. So, Drift Class, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, all Internet Kitty press conferences have been indefinitely delayed until we get an actual press.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the humping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying and the fellow. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license, copyright 2016, Drift Glass, Blue Gal Podcast.